Hey, thanks for joining us on the No Limits Church podcast. This is a place to get equipped to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So get ready to be empowered by this message.
All right, well, Tim, we'll invite Tim to the stage. Let's give our evangelist a hand. I'm going to hand it over to him. He's going to help us make this revival a success by teaching us how to do the work of the evangelist. Did you know that not only Tim's supposed to do the work of the evangelist, but the Bible instructs all of us to do the work of the evangelist? So take it away, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to tell you all a little something first. Not everyone here knows me, but here's what I want you to know. I come across sometimes as gritty, a little rough, humorous at times, very outspoken and bold. That's just who I am. But here's what I'm wanting to say to you. If I ever say something to you that grinds you the wrong way, or I speak a scripture that you're going, oh, I don't know, would you please come talk to me? I want to have a conversation about it, because this is my perception. This is the way I'm going. And a lot of times I'll drop some humor, and I'm a guy, and I usually drop it in the wrong place sometimes. So that's just the way it is. So we have to have allowances for one another. I'm going to share with you so you know. Not everyone wears their challenges on them. You know, you can see someone and you can see all, oh man, what's going on with you? You know, I don't do that. I wear my faith first. Amen. So I go through challenges. I got lots of them, but I work through them. But I'm going to share this one with you because I overcome it all the time. And if you see a different character trait about me, it's probably stemmed from when the devil attacks, he only does it in your mind. Okay? Mine is, I hear this every day, all day. They don't care. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Just shut up and move on. Hurry up, get it said, and be dead. I hear it all the time. So I have to adopt this attitude. I don't care. Shut up. And I move on. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to balance it all the ways I can. So here's what I want to read to you. Guys, we are on an adventure. We are all on an adventure that we have never, ever been here before. So Ephesians 4 talks about the unity in the body. Verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. This next section, 5 and 6, is we really need to get this in us, okay? There's too many distractions out there. There's too many religions posted all over the world. Get this in you. Ephesians 4, 5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Okay? Settle it. You got to settle it. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led crowds of captives and he gave gifts to people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to a lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts God gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. This is their responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So we're on an adventure, guys, and it's going to be fun. And I'm a low tech guy. I'm going to learn, but this is my iPad. I will learn. And I wish Tristan was here because we are on an adventure, and it's a lot like Brenda's hair right now. It's on an adventure. And I said that on purpose because so many of you really don't know me. My wife and I have been married for 36 years in June. We have an amazing relationship. We love to laugh. She's a quirky, goofy little chick. I mean, I love her. She says the most random things, but we have a blast. I mean, we have a blast. So if you don't know us and you hear me pop off something, you're going, oh, man, she's about to swing. No, she's not. She's just going, that was funny right there. We have fun, don't we? All right. So here you go. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me. I thank you that these things that you've revealed to me are power, and they are changed. They're life-changing. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening the eyes of our understanding, opening our ears to hear. Let there be no distraction, but a full focus on the truth of your word that will be exposed in our hearts today. And we will not be the same. In Jesus' name. So, I'm going to change my voice for a moment because I have to do a disclaimer. The views of the speaker are his and not meant for offense or harm in any way. If in this message you feel guilt or shame or are uncomfortable, please don't. This is a draw to God to see what you need. So if you feel guilt or shame, it's, what is it, Lord? What am I missing? And when you're uncomfortable, it's your sign to trust him and know who you are. There was no one killed in this message. Except Jesus, Andrew, Peter, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, Judas, Paul, and all the other men and women who sacrificed their lives for this message. That's only people who died for this message. Okay? So there is a reality that we're going to see today. There's a reality in the message that has been a little muddy. So we're going to clarify it. It's going to be awesome. All right. And be patient with me because you're going to hear a lot of reading today. And if you don't take notes, you oughta. Last week's message was powerful. You need to listen to it again and again and again. That these are the things that we need to know. Our salvation benefits. What are they? If you don't know them, how are you going to convey them to someone else? Okay? So renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. I've listened to the message 3 times just to get it. And I sat here through it twice. So 5. So just keep on renewing your mind to the word. Keep on renewing. So this is Luke 4:18. The other scriptures will pop up later, but this one I didn't have up there. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So the time of the Lord's favor has come. And I encourage you all, bust this Bible open and start reading all over again. You may think, I know this, I've read this, I've read this, I've read this, but he is revealing, revealing, and revealing, and revealing, and opening things. I've read this for 38 years, and there's things I'm going, where did that come from? I mean, truly. Okay, so in this, Jesus is speaking, of course. We are imitators of Christ. Okay, so everything that he says, let's download, that's me. This is our mission. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Point at yourself. It's upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So in this blindness, it's not just blind eyes. It's spiritual eyes as well, that their eyes will be opened, that they be set free. So Romans 10:14, please. Y'all think you're quiet now. Wait till you start screaming. Jesus got some things to say. So Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So that's a great question, isn't it? So let's go for the answers. John 20, verse 19. This is after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He's appearing to his disciples. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord again. And he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. We just cleared it up. We've been sent. I didn't see anything else in there except for he sent us. Okay. So I am sending you. This is going to be amazing. I'm just so excited because you're about to see some things that are so amazing. So again, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here's this one. If you think differently, it's okay. We're all going to think differently. We're all going to perceive things differently. This living word, he's going to show me something. And unless it contradicts something else, I'm not wrong. Okay? All right? So listen to this. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. I have always taken this as if you don't forgive their sins, they're not forgiven. So yours aren't either. I've always seen that this way. So let's look at Matthew 9, verse 1. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. I love this part. Seeing their faith. Seeing their faith. He saw them coming. He saw their faith. That's amazing. I love it. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Yes, he does. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God. What did they praise God for? For giving humans such authority. We categorize Jesus, guys. Vista was touching on this morning. It was awesome. Brendan and I were talking about it last night. We categorize him. We have the Gospels. We have us. And then we go, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, us. So they praise God for giving humans such authority. Let's go back. What did he say? for healing and forgiveness of sin. So am I saying that we can forgive sin? I am. Why? Because we're imitators of Christ and he sent us. How are they going to hear unless they're sent? Who's he going to send? He's going to send us. He already sent us. We read this, right? He sent us. And we're going to learn the rest of it here in a minute. And he just broke down why he's sending us. To forgive sin. To heal sick. To bring healing. To bring salvation. We are the carrier of it. You can't dissect and pull it all apart. It's all part of it. Your repentance of your sin, your forgiveness of your sins, your salvation, your healing, your provisions, your peace, your joy, they're all in the same package. So we're dividing things. We're separating them. But if we don't go, if we don't go to every single person out there, they're not going to know the knowledge of Christ. Their sins are not going to be forgiven. Their bodies are not going to be healed. They are not going to be free. They are going to be in poverty and despair if we don't go and do. This is such a timely message for today. The urgency out there. The world is trembling too. Side note, we went to Collinsville yesterday, about 10 of us. It was an amazing, wonderful time, handing out the flyers for the revival, connecting with people all over the place. It was awesome. Every single person I met did not go to church. And I promise you, I was active. I was going. And I love that so many people said, got one. Because we were going. We were having a great time. And so then that's when the invitation goes out to come to church. Give them our little tracts. Shows them where the church is. And then I ask them, next week, looking kind of weird, isn't it? And every one of them are going, yeah. It's kind of scary. I said, well, don't be scared, but know this, that God speaks to us through the sun, moon, and the stars. So he's got the whole world looking up, so just pay attention. So that's just awesomeness. So, again, in verse 8, fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. They saw Jesus heal a man. They saw Jesus forgive his sins, and they were amazed, shocked, that humans had such authority. What was Jesus called when he walked the earth? The Son of Man. Why did he do that? Well, after the Holy Spirit came down on his baptism and empowered him, then he went and he healed the sick. He delivered people. His whole ministry was as a man with the Holy Spirit. He was teaching and guiding us. He wasn't showing, hey, look at me. If you need something, holler. Hey, I'm the man. He's saying, come with me, follow me. Let me show you what I need you to do. I need you to represent me and the Father and the Holy Spirit. I need you to pay attention to what I'm doing. I need you to pay attention. Look, this is what I need you to do. You've got the authority. I've already given it to you. So let's go to Mark 6. Here's my hanky. Mark 6. Verse 7. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. And he said, wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. What? Do you see the power in this? Is this authority? He's saying that you and I, if we're not welcome, we dust off our feet and abandon them to their fate. Why? Because we were the carrier of the power of the gospel, and it was rejected. We are the representation of Christ. It's not, hey, Jesus, will you? We're looking to him for all that he's done, but we're receiving all he's given us, and then we're doing with what we're supposed to do. Okay? So, let's go to Luke 9 real quick. This is the same verse, just a different... I just want to verify a scripture. Luke 9:1. One day, Jesus called together his disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about what? And to heal the sick. Remember, go back through scripture. Jesus was always talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. We really need to learn what the kingdom of God is. It's huge. So we're the king's kids. Okay? So we're preaching the kingdom of God. What are we preaching? The power of this gospel, the freedom in it. When we speak to a mountain, he was saying, speak to your mountain. It's not a story. It's the power. He's saying, speak to it. Whatever your mountain is. Side trail. 2 weeks ago, I received healing in my right shoulder. Bone to bone, and it's not that way anymore. And I've had people ask me, how's your shoulder? It's sore. Because I use it so much now. I mean, gardening, raking, pushing things around. I'm limitless now. And I went 2 years not being able to use this. And I'm speaking, I'm working, I'm developing in me the things I want to see in me. And in my feet, they have been a struggle. Your big toes, you got your big toes, and you got some big knuckle back there. Brenda calls them funions. Bunions. Oh, bunions. Gotcha. Thought they were funions. That's just nasty.
They might
smell like funions. So... These things on my feet, one of them was so tall. I'm telling you, that tall, I couldn't wear certain shoes, and my feet hurt on the right side. It was big, and it's not right. And I, every single day, I speak to them, and I touch them, and I tell the bone, reduce, reduce, reduce. We have pictures. I am at 20% inflation on that now. It used to be that big. And I walk good, talk good. Well, I don't know about talking good. I don't have to buy new shoes. So it's working out really good. So again, in Luke 9, he's talking about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey. He instructed them, don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. He's displaying authority in the rejection. Do you see that? He could have just said, just check out, walk away. No, he said, make a display. Hey, want you to know, I'm abandoning you to that. That's fine. That's fine. Walk away. So in John 17, verse 20, this is Jesus praying. I recommend you, this is the prayer of Jesus chapter, John 17. So in verse 20, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Hang on to that. He's praying for all that will ever believe their message through us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you, and may they be in us so that the world believes you sent me. have to park it for a moment right there. My friends at Hope Center, probably watching today, and I'm going to tell some stories about them. Three new guys came into the Hope Center. Hope Center is a drug and alcohol addiction house. Every single person that comes through there, I get the privilege to minister to and to love and to show Jesus and his power that's in us. And just over a year ago, and I know that God's dealing with several people, is he moved me out of a very lucrative career in sales. Six-figure income deal. I'm traveling everywhere. Very good at my job. When the corporate company and I parted, I, for the first time, asked him what to do. Instead of just running off to go find the most money, I stopped and I asked him, what do you want me to do? And he said, wait. Hey, I'm just like everybody else. I got a mortgage, and it's a big one because I put the term like that short. It's a monster. And I got those thoughts. I'm the big part of the income. Brenda makes a living, but it's not what mine was. And so I have to wait, and I have to listen to that. I heard it, so I'm not going to deviate from it. So I talked to Brenda about it, and I said, listen, here's what's going to have to happen. I don't need you coming to me saying, how are we going to pay the bills? I don't need you coming to me stressing about anything. I need you to go to the Lord, because he'll tell one of us. If I'm in error, he will tell you, and I submit myself to authority. If I'm ever wrong in any way, I say, please bring it on. If I'm talking to the guys and I'm speaking about something in general, I say, if you see it differently, please tell me. I want to know. I've gone to Cade over something that bothered me one time. I said, man, this just bugs me. And here's what I'm asking you. Give me direction, correction, or rebuke me. Listen, if we'll have that heart attitude when you start going to someone about something, if you're ready to be corrected, directed, or rebuked, that's a pure heart. Amen. Not, I'm just, I don't like that, so I'm going to tell you about, stop it. We have to be in the unity. We have to be in the unity. We cannot let these things affect us. So, back to scripture. Nope, sorry. Back up. Hope Center. Okay. Three new guys. When we end the group, here's what I told one of them in this situation right here. And may they believe in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. Three of them said, I just can't believe God. I try. I just can't. And I apologized to all three of them. I said, the church has failed. We have failed to display the power of God and who he is and the difference that we are in Christ. The major part of the church has failed if you can't see that there's God. You should be able to see it in creation alone, but they didn't see God. So here's what I asked them. One of them, I asked him, on your private time, quiet time, ask God and be very, very bold. Say, prove it. Show me who you are. Prove it. From a guy who doesn't believe in God, is he scared of that? Nope. And the whole group starts smiling. And I said, next week, I can't wait to hear, because this story is going to be good. So we wrap up our group, and I have them round up, and we put our arms around each other's shoulders. And when I start praying to close it out, I just said, Jesus, you said to lay your hands on the sick, and all these hands are on these bodies right now. So I speak to and I just started speaking to any kind of sickness, any of it. We broke, go out on the back porch with my new friend Bradley. And on my first time with my guys, I say, tell me your story. Just whatever you want to tell me, tell me. So he's sitting there going, I don't know what to say. I don't. And this guy has gone through the world. He is amazing dude. He is tatted up. He is just, he's a friend. I like friends like that. Scary dudes? Yeah. Hang with me, brother. So we're sitting out there, and he's just hem-hawing around trying to say it. And I said, man, just say it. He said, I don't understand. We were in that group, and you started talking about laying hands on people, and you had your hand on my shoulder, and I just started, did you feel me shake? He said, it quit hurting. It just stopped. I haven't been able to exercise. I said, is it all good? And he goes, there's a little bit. I said, nope, ain't a little bit. We prayed one more time. It's almost, but it's just not. One more time. And then he goes, oh, okay, that's it. It's gone. So check this out. A little bit later, we go into the salvation prayer. He gets saved. He declares, like I tell him, you have to declare before men, and then Jesus will declare you before the Father. He does what my other brother did a few weeks ago, and he yells out to the guys, guys, I'm born again for the first time. Awesome. So one of the other gentlemen that was in there listening to the message, he went immediately to put what I taught him to work, the man who just doesn't believe. He runs around the corner of the house, and he goes, hey, Elijah. He said, can I interrupt y'all? Yeah, what you got? He said, man, I did what you said. I'm sitting over there on the side of the house, and I asked God. I got two things going on here. If you want me to go this way, send a Jeep by. Well, we know that's called fleecing, and it did work. Gideon got it done. So he goes, I'm sitting there for about 2 minutes, and I thought, how long do I sit here? And then, a car alarm is going off in a lime green Jeep driving down the road with their alarm on. Listen, when we stand up, God shows up. And I'm saying that to say this. I stood boldly and declared his word. I stood boldly and said, ask him. I know my Father. He'll answer you. Stood boldly and put my hands back on him and said, not good enough. He wants all of it. Okay? And that wait time that I was talking about earlier, it wasn't scary, honestly. It wasn't. But it was a new thing for me to trust him with no money. For 1 year, I went with no income coming in for me. And I know, I've heard it. I heard everyone, God only moves those things that are moving. He'll only direct it if, no, not when God says, wait. Now, typically, yes, you got to put your hands to work if you want to eat. Get it. Got it. Good. But when you've heard a word from God, consider nothing else. So wait means wait. Looked it up in all the definitions. Means wait. Okay? Now, had I not waited and had I not gone through this discipline and this rebirth and this growth in me and this calmness in me, I have a huge calmness now, don't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Got two people back there that know me way long. But it's the same message for us all. We have to trust him. He's redirecting many of you. And he's saying, you got to trust me. You're saying, but. If it's but, I got a mortgage, but I got bills, but I got a wife, but I got kids, but it don't matter, but God.
Yeah.
Seek him, find your place. Ephesians 4, he's got places for us all, and you don't have to be in the fivefold ministry. You have to be in obedience, okay? So let's go to verse 22. Jesus said, I have given them glory. I have given them the glory that you gave me. I have, in my past, sped through everything, every definition. Glory. He said he's given us glory, an especially divine quality, unspoken manifestation of God and his splendor. Jesus said, I have given them an especially divine quality. He's prepared us for anything that we need to do, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Every single person on the earth has been given to Jesus. And will they all make it? We know with certainty they won't. But we have to go. He said, those that you've given to me, I want them to be where I am. Then they can see that all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. So I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus went to his disciples to prepare. Then the disciples did the preparation. They went all throughout the world spreading this gospel for us to duplicate what they did. It's not the landing zone. Those were the disciples. They set the foundation. The building's built. Church is good. Invite people if you can. That's not the message. The message is who we are in Christ. We have authority. We have power. We have exactly what he did. We have exactly who he is. That's the clarity. We're it. We are it, and we are awesome. Matthew 10. And verse 26. Oh, my bad. I said Matthew 10, didn't I?
Yes.
All right. It's on the wrong page. I do that a lot. Matthew 10, 26. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. Who's going to threaten you? For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed.
Yes.
We're here. Yes. And all that is secret will be made known to all. We're here. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. How many of you got some travelers? I got lots of hair traveling somewhere out in the earth. If you happen to find any of it, help me out. So he knows the hairs of our head. He cares about sparrows. He cares about every single thing. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Stopping right there. What if things got weird tomorrow? What if they got scary tomorrow? I hope that your mentality is in the position of, cool. What's he going to do? That I'm not afraid. I have no fear. I have no anxiousness about anything. I'm ready for it to come on. Because it has to get weird out there for people to see. Darkness is being revealed. You know, darkness is screaming at us right now, isn't it? I don't watch normal TV, but I've seen commercials and this and that and the other and some of these concerts out there. Taylor Swift, if your children listen to it, stop it now.
Yes.
And that is a demand from the Lord. Stop it now.
Yes.
She is a witch.
Yes.
She does spells on stage. She does mock sacrifices on stage. So does Madonna. All of them are evil. Stop it. Pay attention. Really pay attention to what your kids are watching. All right. That was a side note. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. It's pretty plain, wasn't it?
Yes.
This is not a down message either. This is an up message. This is a message of authority. This is a message of everything that you have need of is within you. Every mountain that's in your way is waiting for you to speak to it. Every, that mustard seed faith, he's just asking you to use that. But what's that? Why does it make sense? It's a little seed. What's a seed do? It bursts forth and it grows. He's saying just that much. Just give me that. Speak to it. Speak to that situation. Don't do the other thing. Just walk with me. Just a step. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, right? Steps. Just a step. Hey, listen to me. I know you're learning. I know you're figuring this out. Just a step. Just walk this out with me. He's walking this stuff out with us. But this is very, very important. If you're not willing to stand up and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, you have got to internally fix this. Because he just said, man, if you won't talk about me, I'm not talking about you. He said, be hot or cold, not lukewarm. Amen. So cold doesn't talk about Jesus. Warm may say, wow, Jesus, you know, using their name wrong. But hot. Hot's what yesterday was.
Yes.
Hot was yesterday going out in the community and speaking to people directly and loving on them and having a good time with them and incorporating this part into our lives. This is the kingdom living, the kingdom of God. We are to walk in the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if we're walking in that kingdom, then the kingdom is in us. So we're displaying the kingdom. Going to side note right here. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you are a young Christian developing in these things, come talk to us. Let's put together whatever we need to do to educate you.
Yes.
Whatever we need to do. If we need to figure it out, sit down in the mornings, afternoons, evenings, whatever we need to do, we're going to equip the saints for the gospel. We're going to let you know who you are in Christ. How are you supposed to know what to do if you don't know what to do? But you've got to say something. I don't know where everyone is in this room. Kate doesn't know where everyone is in this room. We don't. But we don't want you left lost either. So let's do something about it. Let's change this. So in verse 34, he says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. This kind of messes up the joyful Jesus message, doesn't it? Jesus is the Son of God, the loving heart of God in the flesh. But he has taught his disciples. He has spoken his word. He has commanded us to go. And then he's dividing whether people are embarrassed of him or not. And then he said, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. But I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Ouch. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Boy, it sounds hard, doesn't it? Gonna divide you and your mama? This is saying that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, everything that is within us. We're to love him first. And when we love him first, everything else works. It all works. The husband leads the home. The wife submits to the husband as he submits to Christ. The children obey their parents in the Lord. Whoa, isn't that a peaceful house? That's the way things are supposed to flow. Peace is supposed to be in your home. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. He's not going to leave us out. He's asking us to follow him. And he's telling us he's equipped us with power. I really hope you're going to meditate on this, because the difference between you and Jesus is only they can see you. The only difference between you and Jesus is they can only see you. Matthew 28, verse 16, the Great Commission. The 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Does that blow anyone away? You have 11 disciples that walked with Jesus, saw everything he did, heard everything he taught, watched him appear in a room to send them, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, walks around the city with old prophets, goes from place to place, tells them to meet again on the mountain, right? And there's three times that he showed himself to his disciples. I encourage you to go look those up, because they're very short things that he said. And they got to be powerful. Jesus just showed up from the dead to tell them something. So I think it's pretty important what he told them. So this is one of them. Verse 18, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he says for his new disciples to obey all the commands. Obey. Let's think for a moment, the Great Commission. What is the commission? Definition of commission. The act of granting certain powers or the authority to carry out a particular task or duty. The authority so granted. He's granted us the authority to represent him. You know, Jesus always pays you back. He's saying in the kingdom. So Matthew 6:33, he says, seek when? First. That's our instruction. Seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom? Everything that he is representing. Everything that he's representing is the kingdom. So in our lives, in our work worlds, and all the things that we're trying to struggle with on, do I work harder? Do I work smarter? What do I do? Do I put on an extra job? But we don't have any of this incorporated. And guys, I've been guilty my entire life. I didn't incorporate this gospel, this life, this call, this command. Everything else is secondary. And guys, I'm not speaking as an evangelist on that nature. I'm speaking as a person. Everything else is secondary. The message of Christ is primary. It is first. It is because the lost are out there. Every person you see struggling out there are waiting for the answer. And we own it. And should we be burdened so heavy that, what do I do? No. Make it a part of your everyday life. Incorporate just expressing to people the love of Jesus. Now, some of you may think, well, I need to wait. I need to pray. I need to figure out what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Well, always pray. Always lean on the Holy Spirit on what to do. But if you see someone and you're going, oh, should I? That was already it. Go. You would have never saw him otherwise. Just go. Remember, when we stand up, he shows up. So kingdom business is our priority. So I'm going to tell you what I told you. The Great Commission. It's a formal written warrant granting power to perform various acts or duties. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's not. It's the Great Commission. Now, in Ephesians 4, where it's give people forbearance and things of maybe I say something a little different. Weeks ago, I mentioned this, that what if, and I give scenarios and ideas just for visuals, not necessarily 100% scripture, okay? So what if we were standing before the Lord and he said, all those didn't make it? I know there's no weeping and tears in heaven. I know. But I don't know what God's going to say. I don't know what he's going to show me. I don't know. But he's going to judge us by our fruits. He's going to judge our actions and the things that we've done. And I only say that parallel to say this. There are people going to hell every day. But we're uncomfortable. We can't be uncomfortable anymore. In Ezekiel, it does say this to the prophet. He says that their blood is on your hands. Yeah. That was to the prophet. It truly was. But based on this message, where's the responsibility lie now? It's ours. That's a different perspective. And it's not to impose grief on you or guilt or shame. But if you get any of that, it means we need to tune up. We need to step it up and get moving. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just know that our God said, watch me.
Yes. Amen.
That's what's going on right now. The entire world is watching what he's going to do. So the Great Commission. And then we talked about his first love and our first love. It has to be the Lord God. It has to be. His glory. He gave us an especially divine quality, an unspoken manifestation of God. He's given that to us. He said to go out in authority and provision and trusting him. When he sent the disciples out two by two and said, don't take nothing. Was he being mean? He said, I will take care of you. Just trust me. That's where I was sitting in my yard when he said, wait, you're going to trust me. What does trust look like? We say it all the time. What's it truly look like? I have faith. What's it truly look like? We say it all the time. Let's really engage in this. So we have all authority, all provision when we're trusting in him. Forgive sins, heal the sick, set them free. If we don't go to them, none of those happen. They stay dead. They stay dead. I'm so grateful that I get to work with guys that are struggling to get out of what they got themselves into. I tell every single one of them, you're not in a rehab. You've been set apart to be prepared for this day, for this hour, for this gospel, to speak this message, to build the people and to go into your areas and your life, and you're to bring them out. These are the prodigals, guys.
Yes.
But heard this morning. Oh, so powerful. God's been holding off on letting the prodigals come in. This is powerful. He's been holding off letting the prodigals come in because of the very thing the three guys told me. I can't see God. They couldn't see God because they didn't see it in us. So the prodigals, if we draw in all the prodigals, all the ones who've gone away, the church hurt people who've gone away, if we get them all back and we're the same, what good are we? They're done from this point. There's no power in the church still. Oh, because I have a tattoo, you're going to yak yak? No. Even that scripture is all misrepresented. He said, don't mark yourself. He was talking about the, like the other prophets, they were cutting themselves. They were cutting themselves to bleed, to get Satan's Baal to do his job. That's what that scripture is talking about. So let's not mess up scripture. Romans 10:14, we've confirmed that we've been sent, right? Luke 4:18, we've confirmed that you are anointed and you are appointed to do this job.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? Help us get God's word out to everyone who needs it by partnering with us financially. Your generous giving is what enables us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Visit nolimits.fyi to give securely online. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a message. And thanks again for listening. Now let's go make a difference.